30. Martin walked sullenly through the streets of Atlantis. He had decided to call them streets, even though there were no cars or wheeled vehicles. There were some push carts and the occasional wheelbarrow, but unless someone was riding in them, he couldn't call them vehicles. By the same token, he didn't think he could justify calling them streets without wheeled vehicles, but he decided to let that one go. Walking sullenly through the pedestrian footpaths of Atlantis just didn't set the right tone. Of course, he could have just teleported back to his hotel room and avoided the whole problem, but teleporting, like driving a car, is best suited to situations where you're either traveling a long distance in a hurry or trying to impress people. For short distances, walking was still preferred by most wizards, because it gives you time to talk if you're with someone, and time to think if you're not. Walking can be very pleasant. Moving slowly through an environment gives you the opportunity to really see it. Besides, teleporting around everywhere gives one's life a frantic, disjointed feeling. It didn't help one's cardiovascular health either. Also, it's impossible to teleport sullenly. It's over too quickly, and nobody witnesses it. If you want to travel sullenly, you pretty much have to walk. And given Martin's mood, if he was going to do anything, he was going to do it sullenly. Martin heard someone shout his name. Martin turned and said,
"Hi, Vikram,"
sullenly. Vikram was a fakir from one of the Indian delegations. When they'd first been introduced at the big meet and greet on day one, Vikram had worn ostentatious robes and a cartoonish, large, bejeweled turban. But since then, he had worn his usual daily uniform, a simple, loose-fitting orange robe. Vikram ran to catch up to Martin, then said,
"Look, Martin, I just want to apologize. I feel terrible that I didn't do anything to help today."
Martin started walking again. Vikram kept pace.
"Don't worry about it, Vikram. There were a lot of people there who didn't help. Heck, if you look at the results, I didn't really help, did I?"
"At least you did something, and please call me Vic. Most of us just stood there and watched."
"It's understandable. You were all in shock."
"It's no excuse,"
Vikram spat. They both walked sullenly for a moment. Then Vikram asked,
"Any idea who's behind it?"
"Well, we've ruled some people out."
"Who?"
Martin chuckled mirthlessly and said,
"Pretty much any suspect we had."
After another long silence, Vikram said,
"We all should have been helping you. There's so many of us. Whoever did this, they were smart to make today's attack so chaotic. It kept us from acting until it was too late."
Martin shook his head.
"Really, Vic? I don't think so. I mean, really, Philip and I created most of the chaos ourselves. All the attacker did was drop another statue and throw some more arrows. Sure, he added some ropes and tar, but really, it's just a slight variation on all the stuff they'd done before that didn't work. It was an act of stubbornness, not intelligence."
Vic nodded.
"Sadly, I find that stubbornness often beats intelligence eventually. Stubbornness will beat anything eventually. That's the whole point of stubbornness."
Martin didn't like that idea. He agreed with it, but he did not like it.
"Look,"
Vikram said,
"none of us really took any of this seriously before today. Logic seemed to dictate that Brit the Younger couldn't be killed, so we didn't think the Brits were in any real danger."
"Neither did I,"
Martin thought.
"But now we are taking this seriously,"
Vikram continued,
"and we feel like jerks."
"So do I,"
Martin thought.
"If there's anything I can do to help, please let me know. I'm sure that goes for all the other delegates. We want to help. We just don't know how."
"Neither do I,"
Martin thought. With that, Vikram said goodbye, and Martin continued his sullen trek back to the room he had been sharing with Philip. When he reached the door, Ampix was waiting.
"What do you want?"
Martin asked, then immediately waved his hand to stop any forthcoming answer.
"Never mind, don't say it, I know what you want. Go for it. I hope you have better luck than I did."
Martin opened his door and went into his room. He didn't close the door behind himself, so Ampix followed him in. Martin slumped down in a chair and looked at Ampix, clearly irritated and confused.
What? I told you she's all yours. Just take my advice. Don't try to get anywhere with Gwen by acting like me, because I can tell you, it doesn't work.
Ampix shook his head and stepped to the center of the room as if he were about to recite the Gettysburg Address.
Martin, he said in stilted tones, I have come here to say something to you.
Martin's irritation faded, clearly being pushed out of his brain by his increased confusion. Ampix said,
I've watched you closely since you've arrived. I have discussed you with your friend, Philip. I have observed you interacting with the sorceress Gwen. I have witnessed your attempts to prevent harm from coming to Brit the Younger.
Oh, great, Martin thought. Just what I need. Criticism from a walking pituitary gland.
Martin opened his mouth to interrupt, but before he could, Ampix said,
And I've come here today to tell you that you have earned my respect.
Martin squinted and said,
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Do not gloat about it, Martin. This is hard enough for me as it is.
I'm not gloating. I can't believe what I'm hearing.
It is true. Martin, you are a man of action. You intervene while others stand and watch. Then, by the time they take action, you are already several steps ahead. You are often out of step with those around you, but that doesn't mean that they're on the correct foot.
Thank you, Ampix, Martin said. That's one of the nicest things anyone's ever said to me.
That does not surprise me. My biggest criticism of you is in your choice of friends. Philip doesn't respect you as much as he should.
Well, in Philip's defense, he was my teacher. In a lot of ways, he still sees me as a student.
Ampix sat on the chair opposite Martin.
No, you still look at yourself as a student, and it keeps you from seeing yourself or him clearly.
Look, Martin said, Philip might be dead. At any rate, he's missing and in trouble. I appreciate what you're saying, but now's not the time.
No. Now is not the time for honesty. When is? I was at the summit today, guarding one of the balconies. I saw what happened. You acted while the other wizards and sorceresses stood there like sheep.
Ampix, that's not fair.
True. Sheep are useful.
Martin said,
Philip helped. Heck, he got to Brit first.
Yes, and what did he do? He held on to her and he yelled. You used your magic. You attempted to anchor your legs to pillars, tables, even the wall, and nobody else thought to come to your aid until failure was practically a foregone conclusion.
Thanks, but I think you're giving me too much credit. None of that did any good.
I give you credit for trying and failing. It's not much credit, but it's still more credit than most of your peers deserve.
Martin asked,
Well, why didn't you and the other guards help?
We don't get involved in issues regarding magic. What if I had tried to push Brit the Younger out of the path of a falling statue? I'd have been crushed, and she wouldn't have gotten hurt either way. What if I'd thrown myself between her and the arrows? I get impaled. She is unhurt either way. We guards are there to keep angry citizens from troubling the sorceresses. But, in truth, we are largely ornamental. Most of us do the job in hopes of catching a sorceress's eye. Otherwise, we'd probably wear something more substantial.
Martin tried to imagine fighting while wearing a mesh t-shirt and a kilt, and decided that Ampix had a point.
You do things, Martin. Not smart things, but still things. While Philip criticizes and Gwen hides, you do things.
What do you mean, Gwen hides? Martin asked.
I've only been watching you for a short time, and it's obvious to me that Gwen is yours. You are the only man she is interested in, and everyone else can see it. Yet she refuses to show you. She hides from you, and from her feelings. You know it is true, Martin. That is why she frustrates you so.
Martin shook his head.
I don't know.
Ampix asked,
Martin, how many women have you wanted in your life?
Martin answered, Many.
Ampix asked,
How many of those women have wanted you in return?
Martin answered,
Not many.
And how did you respond to their lack of interest?
I don't know.
I guess I got the hint and left him alone.
Yes, but you haven't given up, even after she left and moved far away. Even after all the time she's rebuffed your advances, even now, when you claim to have let her go, you still hold out hope. It's because some part of you, some part that sees things clearly, some part that isn't your brain, knows that she is hiding. She hides. It's her nature.
Martin frowned. He didn't like being psychoanalyzed. He especially didn't like being psychoanalyzed accurately.
Is it true?
Martin asked himself.
No, she's very outgoing. Everybody in Lead Church liked her. She ran that shop where she spent 10 years pretending to be a tailor, hiding the fact that she was a wizard. Okay, Ampix, say you're right.
I am right.
I didn't mean that literally.
I do.
Whatever. So what? How does any of this help me now? Philip and Britt are gone, and Gwen is still hiding.
And you were sitting here in your room, doing nothing.
Martin asked,
what should I do?
Something.
I can't just go out and start doing crap at random. I need a plan.
Who has been coming up with the plan so far?
Martin thought back to the time right after what he'd started referring to as the big squid implosion. Martin felt a stab of embarrassment when he recalled having suggested that Ida, the president, was behind it, and having to have it explained that nobody as smart as her would do something so stupid. Martin had instantly seen that they were right and handed over the strategy to them. Martin said,
Britt and Philip and Gwen made the plans.
Why them?
Ampix asked.
Because, if I'm being honest, they're smarter than I am.
Are they smarter? Or do they just know more?
Martin asked,
Is there a difference?
Yes, a big one. Even I know that. Martin, you say they made the plan. Was that plan to simply let the murderer keep trying over and over again until they either gave up or got it right?
Well, that's not how they put it, Martin mumbled. Besides, this last time the idea was to use our powers to identify who did it.
Did that work?
No.
And you're certain that they are smart?
Yes. Look, you're right. You have a point. I am usually the one who acts first, and Gwen and Philip tend to do a lot more standing around talking than I like. But I make a lot of mistakes. More mistakes than they do.
Because you try more things than they do.
I'm not sure that's a good thing. There's something to be said for planning and strategizing, and they are smart people. It's just their plan this time that turned out to be stupid. Smart people do dumb things sometimes.
Ampix stood silently, thinking about this.
Smart people do dumb things, Martin repeated.
They sat in silence. Martin's eyes got wide. He looked at Ampix, then stood up urgently. Ampix stood as well, alarmed that Martin seemed alarmed. Martin looked around the room, opening and closing his mouth as if silently arguing with himself. Ampix asked,
What's wrong?
Martin looked up at Ampix and said,
Smart people do dumb things!
Dumb things like repeating themselves?
Ampix asked.